So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 34. Hope you all enjoyed the last show we did, because this week it's all about Barriss Offee. It's all about Barriss, all right? And we'll debate the last name in just a minute. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hello.
If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Also, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. And I will say this. I got the Ahsoka book, Danya, for Audible. And yeah. I listened to it when I was on vacation. I also read it. It was one of those books that I actually had to read really, really quickly. Like, I got through it in half a day reading. But then I went back and listened to it. It's amazing listening to it. Like, you hear Ahsoka's voice, like, doing all her inner thoughts as Ahsoka that, like, you read. You hear her voice in the audiobook. It's just awesome. So, definitely check it out, you guys. Get a free book. It's fun to listen to them. Plus, especially the Ahsoka book, you have from doing all the different voices. So, I enjoyed it. Which, did you get a chance to listen to the audiobook at all?
I've not listened to the audiobook, but I did read it.
So. There you go. Also, we have t-shirts and buttons for sale on our website, so check those out if you'd like to get one. So, Danya, you put some of the news in here. Do you want to start us off with the first bit of news?
Yes. It's a piece of news that made you so happy, because Mikey was on a boat.
I was on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean. I was on vacation.
In the deep blue sea.
I know. Oh, but I saw this news. I saw this news, and I called it months ago.
Yeah, so, Donald Glover is Lando. What can we say other than that?
Other it's than you official. Can see me wiping my shoulder off, you know, dusting it off, saying, I told ya, Donald Glover there. Yes, I'm so excited for this news. Like, yeah. Honestly, knowing that Lando's going to be in the Young Han Solo film means this story is going to just be fun. I'm just, like, so excited for it. I want it to be, like, Fast and Furious in space. I want to see the Kessel Run. That's what I want to do. Is I want to see the Kessel Run.
That'd be quite fun. I want Sana to, like, be in it at some
Sana
point.
Solo? Well, I heard they're looking for a female lead.
So. Yeah, but they're not just looking for a female lead. Apparently, they're actively seeking a woman of color. So... it would make sense, seeing as Sana is a woman of color. Also, more people of color in our Star Wars. Yeah!
And they're all related to Lando Calrissian.
Or Mace Windu.
I don't know. I'll say this. I'm a big fan of Donald Glover. I loved him in Community. I like his show, Atlanta. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Yes. He, like, and, you know, here's the thing. It's, like, he's really funny in Community. And, you know, Troy and Abed in the Morning is, like, one of my favorite skits. And I can see him being, like, that's the funny side of Lando Calrissian. But he's also kind of serious in Atlanta. And he can be serious, like, during interviews and stuff. So, right away, like I said, I wanted him as a young Lando. And he's young Lando. In fact, that leads us right to our next story. That he was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And he gave us some insight into him becoming Lando Calrissian, where his mom tells him not to screw it up. That's probably the most important thing, because, you know, she loved Billy Dee Williams. And who doesn't love Billy Dee? You know, Colt 45 and, well, hello there. Like, I love Billy Dee and Lando. And honestly, this is one of those things where even his family's telling him, like, this is awesome. It's a great honor, but don't screw it up, because, you know, it's Lando Calrissian. You can't screw him up, man. Like, you can tell, oh man, I'm so excited. Like, I am giddy. I'm so, oh man, yeah. Anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit more about that, Danya, so I can just, like, be over here just excited, you know, fanboying.
Tell you more about what? Like, there's not really much to say other than he's been cast. I mean, we don't know the particulars of the role other than it's Lando and Han and probably Chewie and... they haven't really elaborated much more on the plot or the actual details of the film. Just we're getting the cast rounded out a little bit more. But it's really cool because Glover's always been a huge, huge Star Wars fan. I mean,
yes,
there's,
he has.
Yeah, there's that. What is it? Like, what do you call them? Those books that you get when you're in school?
School books?
No, you know when you get your, like, picture taken and you write, like, a quote underneath it. Is it like a yearbook? Is that what it's called?
A yearbook?
Yeah.
Yearbook? At the end of the year, you get your yearbook and everyone signs it?
Yeah. That's a really American thing, by the way. We don't do that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's not a thing over here. That's why I was a bit like, I don't know what they're called. It's a book that you have your photos in and you
get
write
at the end
a
of the
quote.
Year. Okay.
Yeah, you have a quote in it and you get it. And but one of his was like a Star Wars quote. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's really cute. I think it's the pictures floating around online somewhere, but.
I have a lot of Star Wars quotes on mine. So, speaking of the Han Solo film, what do you think? You said Chewie's going to be in it. Do you know if it's going to be?
Well, probably.
I agree. I expect it, but we haven't really talked about this. Is it going to be Jonas or is it going to be Peter who's playing Chewie in this film?
Who knows? I mean, if it's a younger Chewie and there's going to be a lot more action, I wouldn't imagine that they'd want to put Peter through that.
I could see them putting Peter through episode 8 and 9. I think for these spinoffs, I don't think they'd want to, that he couldn't do it, like, at least for, like, scenes where he's sitting in the Falcon and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like, they might not want to push him for it. They might give him credits, even if he's not on it. Kind of like they gave Kenny Baker credits for Force Awakens when he wasn't there.
Yeah, which would be, well, it would be understandable, but, like, it's a film about much younger versions of the characters that we know, so I would imagine that the role would be a lot more taxing than maybe he would be prepared to do, like a lot of running, a lot of stunts, a lot of whatever. So I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on what he'd feel up to doing.
Yeah, I guess. That makes sense. All right. Well, moving on, I'm going to go ahead and jump around here just because I want to make things make sense a little bit more, Danya.
Okay.
We may have gotten some information about the presale of Rogue One. At least for anyone who, if the presale for this happens when they say it's going to happen, you guys will have this episode before it's released. So in a newspaper outlet in San Diego, the Seaside Courier in San Diego, they announced that tickets will go on sale online to the general public beginning 7 a.m. on Monday, November 7th. Now, whether that is 100% true for Rogue One tickets going on sale on November 7th at 7 a.m. on Monday, or another time, but that would make sense because we're already past, the pre-sale tickets of Force Awakens. Like, if we were buying tickets for Force Awakens coming out in December, we already could have had them 2 weeks ago. Do you think this is accurate, Danya?
I have no idea. No one. There have been people like calling around the UK cinema chains to try and figure out when Rogue One tickets are supposed to be on sale, and every different cinema chain has been saying something different to the other, so who knows at this point? I just want to get the ticket booked.
I want my ticket booked, and I don't know about you, like, but the theater I'm planning to go to, it's a Cinemark theater in the U.S., and it's the XD screen, so I get to pick my seats beforehand, and like Force Awakens, I want to pick the middle seat in the middle of everything, like, that's my seat for the movie. So I'm like, I'm anxiously waiting so I can be like the first long. I kid you not. Like, I bought 30 tickets for Force Awakens. I think we talked about this once. And I literally was the first one on. I bought 10 because I can only buy 10 tickets at a time. So I bought 10 tickets, went back in, bought 10 more tickets, and went back in and bought another 10. And they were all three rows right in the dab middle of the theater. And, and everyone was like, everyone who got to is like, oh man, these are amazing seats. How'd you get them? I'm like, I picked them all. Like, trust me, I was refreshing the page, watching Reddit till the pre-sale went online to be able to buy these tickets. So I really want my ticket. So I'm hoping that Monday, November 7th will be the day at 7 a.m. This is for Regal Cinema. So it is a Regal is a fairly large chain in the U.S. I know all over California, Regal's all over the place, right by my parents' house, but I don't have Regal here in Kentucky now. So hopefully we'll see it soon, maybe Monday.
Hopefully, because what has changed in a few episodes, I can't remember which episode I mentioned it in, that I wasn't going to be able to watch Rogue One at midnight because I was going to be trying to watch it with a friend and I wouldn't be able to get back to Wales to see it with them because I changed my job and wouldn't have the holiday time. Guess who got the day off on that Friday?
Nice. Now, here's what's interesting, though. So, okay, so I'm going to go a little bit deeper into this. So, the Seaside Courier said that the online sales were going to go start beginning November 7th at 7 a.m., but there'll be a special advanced screening at these, you know, at the Regal 12 Carlsbad shop, Regal 12 Carlsbad Theater at 7:30. So I don't know if that's on the 16th or on December 15th, not the 16th. So it would be one of those things. So I'm wondering if they're going to do like they did with Force Awakens, where they do an early showing versus a midnight showing the day before. I have both days off. I requested them off a month, 2 or 3 months ago. So I know I'm going to be able to see it either way, but you know, I'd be excited to have like a 7:30 showing versus a midnight showing. Not that I can't do midnight, but you know,
I'm getting too old to be staying up past midnight. Like the last 2 days I've been having to get up like super early and I've been getting home at like 9 p.m from work and just crawling straight into bed and going to bed and being like, yeah, I'm too old for this crap, man. 28 See, years old and I'm too old for this.
See, I will tell you this, and you know, when it comes to, you know, the Star Wars films, one of my favorite things about the Star Wars films, I remember Revenge of the Sith, I remember all these Star Wars films where I literally waited in line 12 hours, like all day. I was outside in the sun, in line, costume dressed up, hanging out with friends, lawn chairs and everything. But for Force Awakens, because I already had my seat, and I had the seat that I was going to sit in, and I had the theater, I went to dinner an hour before, and then I walked into the theater, and I walked in, got my popcorn and my soda, and I sat down right at my seat. Like, there was no line, and I missed it, and I was still early. Like, I was a half an hour early to my seat, because, you know, I don't want to miss any trailers, any previews, nothing, because it's a Star Wars experience. And that's one of the things I miss the most, is, like, the line waiting, because you end up making friends with people you don't know, because everyone's coming to see the movie that you all want to see. Like, it's exciting, but I still hope the tickets go on sale so I can get mine. All right.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because, yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing with, like, The Force Awakens and the UK cinema chains as well, is that when they went on sale, there's basically three main cinemas in the UK that would do it. So there's View, there's Cineworld, and there's Odeon. And what me and my friend Scott found when we were trying to book for Newport Cineworld, which is like around the corner from where he lives, so it would have been really easy to get back home. What we found was that they didn't have any midnight showings at all. And he contacted them and was like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, well, we don't think we're going to have a midnight showing. We don't have any tickets for that. So we booked for the next city over, which was Cardiff, for a different cinema, the Odeon Cinema, who did have midnight showings available. And then the day after, the midnight showings became available for the Cineworld. And they were like, oh, yeah, maybe we did have midnight showings. And it's like, get your act together. So it's really, I'm hoping that we get tickets for the Newport one. It's not as good a cinema, but to be honest, the cinema that we saw it at in Cardiff, even though it's classed as an IMAX theater, it's what I like to call LIMAX, where it's not actually true IMAX. It's just got some of the IMAX technology in it. So
So I will say this. Anyone who lives in LA, if you get a chance, go see these Star Wars films at the TLC Chinese Theater. I went out to California in January after Force Awakens was out, and I went to see Force Awakens there. This is one of the three theaters that J.J. Abrams said this is where you should see Star Wars at, because it is a laser projection IMAX screen. It is one of three laser projection IMAX screens in the U.S., and it is amazing. It's the TLC Chinese Theater, which is also the Grauman's Chinese Theater. So it's a fun place to visit if you've never been there, because it's got all the handprints and everything. You see C-3PO, RTD2, and Darth Vader's handprint and droid part print inside there, as well as like the Harry Potter people and all the great actors and everyone are there. But that theater is amazing.
I haven't been inside. I would love to go inside and see a film there, but I've been outside and seen all the handprint stuff, and that's really, really cool. But
you need to see a movie there, and if anyone in California gets a chance to watch Star Wars there, watch it. Let me know how amazing it is. I don't know if I'll be able to make it out to California in January again to be able to watch Rogue One there.
Right. It's so hard for you to move around in America. Hard.
I know, but it's still a flight, and it's still, who knows? I might make it up, I'll make it out there, but will I make it out there and the movie still be in the theater? That's the problem.
It's a nice sentiment that it's one of the theaters that you should see Star Wars in, but like, it's never gonna happen for me.
Yeah.
Flights cost about $1,000.
But maybe we'll get invited to a premiere and then you'll get to see it in the premiere. I'm just saying, it can happen. We don't know. Anyway, moving on. This past week marks 4 years since Disney purchased Lucasfilm and the Star Wars property. It's interesting to think about this. It's been 4 years, and I want to talk about what we lost and what we gained. And I want to start off with what we lost, because I feel like we gained more than we lost in terms of stuff continuing going forward. But there are some things that we lost that made me sad. The Clone Wars series. The Clone Wars series was canceled after season 5. But Disney did allow them to finish some of what they've done with season 6. Not the complete version, but some of season 6. And they released it called The Lost Missions, which they released on Netflix later on, as well as on DVD. And it was a kind of a half season. And then there's even more you can still see on YouTube of animatics and storyboards. So we lost The Clone Wars when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, which is a little sad. Do you have any thoughts on that real quick, Tanya?
It sucked. I mean, now that the Ahsoka book is out, it's eased that pain a little bit, because we at least got to see we got to see a little bit of like how the end of the Clone Wars actually played out and how it affected Ahsoka and all of that. So, it would have been nice to see it, like, actually play out in the series and see it all animated.
I kind of want to see up to almost Order 66, because you saw kind of the inklings of it in those Lost Mission episodes. And I would have loved to see more with the, going to Moriban or Korriban, whatever you want to call the Sith homeworld that Yoda went to. Like, I would have loved to see more of that stuff, which, they had, like, another season, but oh well.
Yeah.
For anyone who is part of the EU... the big EU, Star Wars books. I was a big fan of it. We lost the Sword of the Jedi series that was planning to happen. Basically, if you read up to Troy Denning's Crucible, which is a phenomenal book, it was kind of a last hurrah of Luke, Leia, probably about 45 years. I don't have the old EU timeline in front of me, but it was about 45 years after the Battle of Yavin. And at this point, Jaina Solo was going to take over, and it was going to be a trilogy written by Christy Golden. It was announced, and it even had artwork and everything, which looked great. And Jaina Solo, the last surviving child of Han and Leia, was going to be the pivotal character, the main character, another strong female lead. And that went to the wayside when Disney decided to retcon all the legend stuff. So it would have been kind of nice to see the Sword of the Jedi series kind of take place.
It would have been incredible to see that, because
my cat's name is Jaina, like after Jaina Solo. We call her the Sword of the Jedi. Like, I love my cat, and I love Jaina Solo as a character. So it's kind of sad, but we now have Rey, who's an awesome character, and we're gonna have Jyn Erso. So I'm excited for some of this. So we'll just kind of see. But Sword of the Jedi would have been a great story, but we're just not gonna get. Star Wars 1313 is something I was super excited for. It's a video game. It was an action-adventure game from LucasArts that was set to star Boba Fett and his adventures across level 13 of Coruscant, kind of the underworld. It was also supposed to be a tie-in with the unproduced Star Wars live-action series called Star Wars Underworld, which we had talked about previously.
Yeah.
We saw a demo on the website, as well as some footage from the game, as well as a trailer. But before the game was released, it was shut down by Disney as well as LucasArts. So we actually no longer have LucasArts as a company, and the game itself was scrapped, which is kind of sad. But, you know, we got Battlefront and other games, which are good.
I mean, Battlefront is
a Battlefront's
fine
great.
Game. It's fine. I wouldn't say it's great. It's not groundbreaking.
It's,
come on.
It's a first-person shooter. I would have loved an action-adventure game like this where you had to solve clue. You know, this would remind me more of like the old, Dark Forces, type series games, the Jedi Knight series games where you had to go through a story and everything.
Yeah,
that was an action-adventure.
I prefer games that have a little bit of story to them. Like, it makes it that little bit more engaging. Like, fine, I like a good first-person shooter as much as the next person. Like, they're fine. They're okay for when, you just want to let off some steam sometimes and you really want a pretty backdrop to it, but it's nothing groundbreaking, they're fun, they're fine, but I keep saying it about Battlefront as well. I want
it's
a story
beautiful.
Mode.
I agree.
I want
I
a
love
story,
story
mode.
Mode. I agree. And actually, it's really funny that you mentioned you want a story mode for Battlefront. Last time I was on JotoCast, we were talking about what games we were playing, and we all mentioned we were playing Battlefront, but Battlefront has taken a backseat for me, as well as a lot of the guys from JotoCast, because we were all playing Overwatch, which, if you want a first-person shooter, between Battlefront and Overwatch, Overwatch from Blizzard is hands down, I personally think, a better game, at least gameplay-wise, and at the same time, it's got a story. Like, it is purely a first-person shooter, but there's a story for every single character. There's lore and legend and stuff that's brand new, where it's like, come on, you guys are in the Star Wars universe, can't you do some of this with Battlefront? It would have been so cool if they did some of that, what they did with the Overwatch in Battlefront, but, oh well, Battlefront 2 is coming out next year, so we'll see what they have there.
Let's hold out hope, I guess.
And the last big thing that we lost with the Disney purchase of Lucasfilm was Star Wars 3D. I don't know about how many of you, I remember going to the theatrical release of The Phantom Menace in 3D. It was kind of underwhelming at the box office, but it was promising to see things in 3D, excited to see all the films. I did get a chance to see Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith in 3D at various different Star Wars conventions. But we never saw a theatrical or home release of those. Nor did we get a 3D conversion of the original trilogy when the original intent was to have episode 1 through 6 all done in 3D that we can experience. So it kind of makes me sad that we didn't get to see the ones that I really wanted to see. I really want to see Empire in 3D. But obviously that didn't happen. And I'm sure with Fox ownership for distribution and now Disney owning it, it definitely makes it more difficult for Disney to agree to doing something like this as a re-release of these in 3D or anything like that.
Put my hands up and say I wouldn't go and watch them. I really dislike 3D movies.
That's okay. That's fine. I just really want to see Luke fly through the Death Star Trench in 3D. Like, that would be so cool. Because there's first-person scenes in there. You know, when you see his computer and you go, it'd just be awesome.
See, I find that 3D stuff is more distracting for me. Like, I find it harder to focus on the actual movie. I can't seem to, focus my eyes at all when I watch stuff in 3D. So it basically throws me out of the entire movie. And I just find myself feeling miserable. And by the end of it, I end up with a headache. So I tend to just really, really hate watching 3D movies. So something like that would be like my worst nightmare.
Okay. All right. Well, you don't have
especially
to see
them. I'd love the chance to be able to see any of the Star Wars movies, like the original trilogy in the cinema, because I've missed out pretty much every time they've been in
cinema. Did you see it in the special edition? 97?
No, because I would have been reliant on my parents to take me to the cinema.
Oh. My parents took me. I saw it at the Grauman's Chinese.
See, rubbing mom. It in again.
I know. I know. Anyway, let's move on. What did we gain when they bought, Lucasfilm? And this is where, like, as much as I miss the old EU and stuff like that, what we gained, I think, was a lot. We got Episode 7, The Force Awakens, which to me was beyond amazing. I love it. Obviously, story-wise, there's things to be added, but I'll wait to see Episode 8 and 9. Again, you have to look at these as a whole, just like we saw, 1 through 3, 4, 5, 6. Kind of look at the trilogies as a whole. We're getting Rogue One. We're getting Episode 8 and the Han Solo films, and also Episode 9. I know there's going to be a third anthology film somewhere in there. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're getting 6 films for sure that they've already kind of announced. How cool is that?
Incredibly cool. And a possible television series that's on the back burner somewhere.
Yeah, we've heard about another live action television series.
And that animated show that's possibly in the works.
Mm-hmm. And a new animated show. We also got Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. Which
I will say, the first season compared to Clone Wars, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this as much. But by season 2 and season 3, I love Star Wars Rebels as much. Just like Clone Wars, it was a slow burn to get started, and it was great. So I'm excited for Star Wars Rebels. And come on, we're also getting a theme park. Harry Potter already has a theme park in Universal. We're going to get a theme park at Disneyland and Disney World. Like, how cool is that? Like, Star Wars theme park. We already had the ride Star Tours, but now we're getting a whole theme park.
We get to live the Star Wars.
Yay! I know. You can sit inside the Millennium Falcon and fly. Like, oh, man. So, like, I get it. Disney buying it has definitely changed the Star Wars universe, changed the Star Wars fandom. But I think overall, some of the stuff we lost, it is kind of sad to see the end of Clone Wars, the sort of the Jedi series never happened, Star Wars 1313. I miss Star Wars 3D. I know you don't care about it, Danya. But, like, at the end, those are okay sacrifices for the stuff that we're getting. So I'm okay with it.
Star Wars 3D, put that straight on the altar. Like,
let me sacrifice that in a heartbeat here.
Yeah. It's gone for every, like, give me that theme park, give me everything else, but take away Star Wars 3D, I'm fine with that.
So, I would love to hear from our listeners, what did they think they gained, or what's their favorite thing they've gained with Disney purchasing Lucasfilm? Is it Star Wars Rebels? Is it The Force Awakens? Is it the theme park that's coming out? Tweet at us at our radio podcast and let us know what your favorite parts of Disney's purchasing Lucasfilm was, looking back 4 years.
And what broke your heart the most? Like, what loss from the purchase?
Talking about loss is hard, Danya. Talking about loss is hard.
I know.
But sort of the
it
Jedi.
Can also be a little bit cathartic if you do.
It can be. To get that off your chest.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, since we've been doing this every week where there has been a new Rebels episode, and I know we missed a week since we last had a show, but guess what? Rebels missed a week also. So we're going to be caught right up. Let's talk about Rebels Episode 6, The Last Battle, real quick. So, Donna, did you get a chance? I know we were talking about you said, oh, no, I'm behind, and I got like 10 shows to watch, for hero hype and everything. Did you get a chance to watch this last battle?
I did. I managed to fit it in between Supergirl and The Flash.
All right. Which, by the way, The Flash was a great episode. We won't talk about it right now.
No, let's not.
Anyway. that's a whole different podcast you do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so The Last Battle, for those of you who haven't seen it, one, go check it out. But if not, you can skip over probably the next 5 minutes and you'll miss it. But we'll give general overviews and our thoughts on it. Rex, Ezra, and Kanan basically battle it out with a super tactical droid from the Clone Wars, which is great, to see who truly won the war between the Separatists and the Republic. And what it comes down to is basically the super tactical droid refused to acknowledge the shutdown command that was sent out to all the Separatist droid army to end the Central Galactic Civil War. Ezra basically uses reason at the end to show the super tactical droid and Rex that they both essentially lost the same war. And it wasn't the Republic that won or lost, but it was the Republic that turned into the Empire that really won. So what they turned into was, it was Order 66 and Darth Sidious who took over. So both sides of the war, both sides lost. And it was kind of cool to see them essentially play a war game between, Rex, Ezra, and Kanan versus the droids and the super tactical droid until the Empire shows up. And then they all team up together to go against the Empire. What do you think of the episode, Danya?
I thought it was quite fun. It was, it felt very much like a filler episode. to me, it, though. Like,
it, I guess it could be. I think it showed a little bit of Rex's character growth as we got to see Rex grow. And maybe not even grow, maybe grow a little bit, but also, like, see what Rex actually has been through. Obviously, we've seen the Clone Wars, but Rex, you know, but can't, you know, Ezra hasn't. And this is him kind of getting a glimpse of what the Clone Wars was.
I did, oh man, some of the lines in this episode were hilarious, though. You know when the Separatist droids are, like, right at the start, when they manage to catch them, and they zap them, and they're, like, walking off. And they're like, we haven't captured anyone in years. And then the other one goes, we haven't captured anyone ever.
Yeah, it's that joke. Like, you know, it's because, again, these droids have been, you know, it's probably been what, almost 20 years, probably 17 years since the Clone Wars ended here. And they're like, they're still waiting, still, you know, doing their thing. And then they capture two Jedi and a clone trooper, which is just totally like, it's just the perfect combination of people for them to capture and to bring into this episode. I will say, like, it really was kind of poignant to see that Ezra have a conversation with Rex at the end of the episode saying, hey, kid, you did something that all the Jedi fighting, all the politicians couldn't do. You made a super tactical droid, you know, the Separatists and the Republic, see eye to eye and realize they weren't really fighting each other. It was really nice and sweet at the end.
It was really sweet, but also they have the hindsight to be able to see that now, whereas at the time in the heat of battle, that perspective wouldn't have been there for either of them, because the Empire wasn't at the forefront, which it's great, it's a nice sentiment, but
I'm not
ready
to move on. But I want to add something to this. I like where you're going with this. I'm not ready to move on, but I would say our spotlight character, Bera Sophie, wouldn't agree with you on that.
What, the
in hindsight.
What, the clones and the
Separatists?
The Separatists wouldn't... What, that they should have been able to see at the time that the Empire was winning?
I think she should... I would say Barriss saw what was going to happen. And that's why she did what she did. But we'll get to that topic in a second.
Yeah, but I mean, like... The thing is that with something like the Separatist droids, they were programmed to see things the way that they saw them. So they didn't, and until the actual tactical droids decided to, like, what, step outside the bounds of their orders, like, the standard Separatist droids wouldn't have been able to, because that's not part of who they are. And especially with the clones, it would have taken so long to break out of their conditioning in order to be able to, you know, see reason. So I would say that, yes, with time and the ability to be able to separate themselves from a war that was basically their entire purpose, that... on both sides, they were entirely programmed to believe in and fulfill to basically the death. You know, being able to move far enough away from that that they can get perspective on it. Then, yeah, I would say that while the sentiment is nice that Ezra was the one that has basically achieved what everyone else wasn't able to, I think that... A massive part of that is the gift of hindsight as well.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that. The gift of hindsight, you know, they have something that they've done. Like I said, 16 years, 17 years, 18 years, you know, whatever you want to guess where the series actually is, you know, into the timeline, you know, of kind of retrospective, be able to look at. So I'll agree with you on that. I am a little sad that, you know, I'm sad the way the story had to happen. You know what I mean? Like, Clone Wars was such a weird show because it took place between episode, you know, 2 and 3. And you knew how it was going to end in the end. It was going to end with what was going to happen in episode 3. So you knew it was just leading up to, like, heartbreak, if you will. So yeah. I think that's something that's always been sad with me. But overall, this season of Rebels, I think, is great. Even though this may have been a little bit of a filler episode, I personally loved it. I also really loved the end of the film, the end of the episode, where it had the same music and it ended just like a Clone Wars episode. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I kind of almost...
It was really cute.
I almost wished that they had a... what do you call it? They had like a little scene at the beginning of it, but they didn't.
Hmm.
It would have been fun for me. Be like, oh, look, it's just like that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good episode all in, though. Though, basically, you know when they're, like, on their knees and the tactical droid is like, I want to recreate the end of the Clone Wars so that we can see once and for all who was the winner. And, you know, you've got Kanan and Rex on the one side basically being like, we're not fighting your Clone War. And then Ezra's like, I'll fight your Clone War. And I literally said out loud, Ezra, no. Because I feel like that is a lot of what Rebels is. It's basically everyone being like, Ezra, no. And Ezra being like, Ezra, yes. And just running straight into the middle of things.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's kind of how Ezra is on everything. He's kind of still, yeah, you know.
Young?
Yeah. Still young and needs to learn a little bit. But yeah, he's good. It's Ezra. All right. Anything else about the episode, Danya?
Not overly. I'm actually a little bit disappointed that the tactical droid didn't go with them. Because I think that would have been interesting.
It would have been cool to see the tactical droid, you know, help out with the rebellion. I get, like, it kind of going on its own. It reminds me of, you know, R2-D2 kind of getting its own personality. Because it did refuse to do the shutdown command itself. So it kind of has its own quirks, if you will. But... it would have been nice to see it, like, kind of join forces and realize the Empire's who it's really got to battle.
Yeah.
And we also know the Rebellion had a B-1 battle droid in its midst. We had Mr. Bones from, what do you call it? Jeez, I'm drawing a blank. I've read the first one and the second one already. There's a third one coming out. It's a book series. Mr. Bones, the B-1 battle droid. Snap Wexley's droid. What book? Aftermath. Yes, you said it.
Yeah, that's what I just said. It was Aftermath? Yeah.
Yeah. So they had battle droids with the Rebellion. You know, you had Mr. Bones, so why couldn't they add a couple more and just, you know, them not talk about them? Oh, well. It happened. Yeah. Moving on to our spotlight topic, Barriss Offee. Sophie. That's, I know what it is, but I got tumbled in the beginning here. Is that right, Danya?
Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry. We all get our, like, words mixed up. For example, on the last episode of Hero Hype, instead of saying main villain, I said main millions. And I still
I'm like, I think I messed up iPod once or MP3 player as a prayer. Anyway.
Yeah.
Moving on to our spotlight topic. So this is from StarWars.com. I just want to read the kind of synopsis of Barriss for those who don't know who she is. So, Barriss is a Merlin Padawan to Luminara Unduli. Barriss Offee preferred learning and studying ancient Jedi texts in the temple to war. This mindset, while noble, led her down a dark path that saw her betray friends and commit terrible acts. So, Barriss, when you meet her, and you see her more in Clone Wars series, but we did meet her in Attack of the Clones, we saw her in person. She definitely is more towards... the kind of studying type, the, you know, the kind of monk type Jedi, if you will, the counselor, the one who is the one who will go ahead and talk things through versus aggressive negotiations, like Anakin Skywalker put it, if you will. So that's who she is. And obviously, as the war rages on, things change. So Barriss was among the Jedi who saved Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Padme at the Battle of Geonosis. So, do you remember her? There is a scene with her where she pulls her blue lightsaber out in the Geonosis chain. You know, I guess it's a gladiatorial battlefield type thing.
Yeah.
And she fights some of the droids, so that's kind of cool. We see her in action. But more so, we see her in Clone Wars. I believe it's Season 2, where she kind of starts off at the second Battle of Geonosis, where basically... Anakin and Ahsoka are on Geonosis, and Luminara and Barriss meet up with them, and it's up to Barriss and Ahsoka to go ahead and help destroy the base by going under the catacombs of the city. And it's during this time where Ahsoka and Barriss don't really get along. They're kind of like a bickering couple. I don't know if you remember the episode, Danya.
Yeah, it's so cute, though. I love it. I like friendships that start off with, like, really weird bickering, and they don't quite get along. They sort of clash a little bit, and then
that's exactly what it is. You know, if you think about it, Ahsoka's personality, we talked about Ahsoka last episode. Ahsoka, at this time, she was still really young as a Padawan, you know, definitely snips in all her, you know, accents and everything she did. Definitely a little brash, a little abrasive. And you have Barriss, who is still very reserved, prefers to do studying, ancient texts, you know, very, you know, just thoughtful in everything they do. And it's up to them to kind of go underneath. They actually go, they're supposed to, I guess, plant grenades, explosives, but they're discovered by one of the Genosians, Poggle the Lesser, if I remember correctly, and a super tank. And basically, you know, Ahsoka is rendered unconscious. Barriss was left with the choice, either the bombs complete her mission or save Ahsoka Tano's life. Of course, Barriss decides to save Ahsoka because she survived past season two and she has her own book now. But once she did that, you know, Ahsoka kind of got on board with them, and they were able to overtake that super tank, and they used the tank to actually destroy the catacombs instead of the bonds. And from there, they basically strengthened the bond to where they would just be forever friends, which is awesome. So what do you think about that relationship that they formed right there at the very beginning?
Oh God, I love it so much. It's like a trope that I always really enjoy when there's like just a little bit of like a clash between people and personalities, and you don't quite understand each other to begin with. Like, you've got the wrong impression of someone. And slowly over time, you kind of break down those layers and realize that they're a very different person than you assumed. I really, really like those sort of relationships when they kind of grow and build. Because I feel like some of the strongest friendships that we see in shows and on TV come from some of those initial clashes.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Unfortunately, my first thing I went to was like, oh, like Barriss and Rory from Gilmore Girls. But no, I watched way too much Netflix.
I was going to say that went straight over my head. I don't know who Barriss or Rory are.
Sorry, you don't need to watch Gilmore Girls. I had to watch all the seasons because it's coming out again. Anyway, you know what's interesting is the next time we see Barriss, though, not just, you know, their relationship is strengthened, the next time we see him is in season two of Clone Wars again, but it's actually on an episode or two episode, a story arc that was actually mentioned in, I believe, Star Wars Show, the weekly show with Andy Gutierrez and them, about what scary Star Wars things to watch for Halloween. So the next time we see Barriss is during the Legacy of Terror and Brain Evaders episodes, two episode arc, which is season two, episode 7 and 8, essentially known as the Brainworm Incident.
Yeah, it's very alien-esque.
And yeah, I mean, like as Body in, Snatchers like, type thing. And it's definitely, it's very, you know, it basically what happens is these two aboard a shuttle and a medical frigate. And there were some brainworms from Genosis that had boarded or was brought on board by an infected clone trooper. And basically this yellow slimy worm jumps from the trooper to Barriss and takes over her. You know, it's like anything from like if you watched Stargate SG-1 to any of the old Body Snatcher films, like this literally is, they take over this Jedi. And obviously it's PG, it's kids show, so it's not super horror scary, but it is definitely one of those things, kind of creepy, if you will. So much so that in the end, Barriss, when she is able to gain control of herself, Barriss tells Ahsoka to kill her because this parasite is controlling her. Ahsoka refuses and eventually is able to save Barriss, which again, you know, it's kind of a nice balance. Like, not if you know, not saying that Ahsoka owed Barriss her life because she did from the previous mission on Genosis, but at the same time, She now refused to kill Barriss and decided to find a way to save her, too. So they're doing a lot of saving back and forth, and that definitely strengthens a relationship between two people. So these brain worms, I think, even though creepy and made Barriss as well as the troopers do some weird things, I think it simply strengthened their friendship.
Yeah. Those two episodes also really showcased how, like, smart Ahsoka is as well when she manages to, like, essentially freeze them out, because they find out the only way to get rid of the, or the only way to, like, incapacitate the worms is, like, they can't handle really, really cold weather. So she, what does she do? She, like, she destroys the
coolant system. The coolant system. I personally would just take him to Hoth, but, you know. That's a joke. That's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. All right. Anyway. Yeah, it's a coolant system that, you know, she ruptures. And obviously, that's how they're able to, you know, take care of it. So, the last bit, really, between Ahsoka and Barriss is kind of the bombing of the Jedi Temple. You know, there's some other things that happen where Barriss is in the background, but nothing that really is forefront. But Barriss bombs the Jedi Temple, which is what is blamed on Ahsoka, which kind of was the catalyst for Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order. And this is a direct quote from what Barriss said. "I did it because I've come to realize that many people in the Republic have come to realize that the Jedi are the ones responsible for this war. That we've lost our way, that we've become villains in this conflict. That we are the ones who should be put on trial, all of us. And my attack on the temple was an attack on what the Jedi had become, an army fighting for the dark side, fallen from the light that we had once held so dear. This Republic is failing. It's only a matter of time." So when I interrupted you earlier, Danya, again, sorry about that. It really comes to this, that, you know, Barriss saw the Republic failing, and she saw what the Jedi had become. You know, we talked about how maybe the Jedi fall wouldn't have happened, maybe Anakin's fall wouldn't have happened if Qui-Gon had survived. But at this point, you know, the Jedi had become so self-absorbed and so lost and so clouded by the dark side that they are becoming, instead of keepers of peace and justice, and, you know, using the lightsaber only when they, you know, in defense, never for attack, they used the lightsaber for attack constantly over and over again. We see the Clone Wars series, which, don't get me wrong, like, I love seeing Anakin Skywalker, Ahsoka turn on their lightsabers and jump around and be Jedi and all of it. It looks exciting and fun, but that's not what the Jedi are supposed to be. And Barriss kind of didn't know what to do. Again, being the person who was more studious, if you will, you know, she did this attack, and the attack was, you know, pinned on Ahsoka Tano instead of her, until she confessed to it. So what do you think about this confession, what her thoughts were on it, on the bombing?
I mean, she reached pretty much the same conclusion, like she said, as some other people had reached. I don't necessarily think that this makes her a proponent of the dark side or anything. I feel like it wasn't the right idea. It wasn't the right way to go about trying to resolve what she saw as a problem within the Jedi Order. But then we've always seen people within, like, the Rebellion and within the Jedi Order who fall on a very, very wide spectrum of how they feel justice should be done. For example, Saw Gerrera and his brand of freedom fighting, which by others is considered terrorism. You know, there's a massive spectrum of how people use their power and use their knowledge and take steps to doing what they believe is right. So I feel like for her, this was very justified. But honestly, I think it all reinforces what I was saying earlier about Rex and the droids, that they were so narrow-minded in how they viewed the entire war and how they looked at it, that they weren't able to see sense for anything around them. I mean, even at this point, they don't really see it. They still don't see it, even after the bombing, because she's arrested and she goes on trial, but still they don't really accept what she's saying. It's kind of dismissed. They still don't really do anything with it. So it's still a very narrow-minded view of the war and their own self-importance and feeling like they're still in the right. So I don't think that this really goes against, like, what I was saying earlier. I think it reinforces it.
Yeah. I'll agree with you on that, 100%. You know, it's... I think I have another quote. Ahsoka Tano expressed feelings about Barriss. Barriss Offee was wrong about a lot of things. She let her anger cloud her judgment, and she tried to justify her actions without considering their wider effect. She was afraid of the war, and she didn't trust people she should have listened to. But she had a point about the Republic and the Jedi. There was something wrong with them, and we were too locked into our traditions to see what it was. Barriss should have done something else. She shouldn't have killed anyone, and she definitely shouldn't have framed me for it. But if we listened to her, or if we listened to her, really listened, we might have been able to stop Palpatine before he took power. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's all these things that, you know, unfortunately, we're in a timeline where we know what happens is set in stone. So it's a what if would have happened, you know, type scenario and all these things. But really what it comes down to is I think Barriss wasn't necessarily wrong, but her actions that she did were wrong. Just like you're talking about Saw Gerrera, you know, the sentiment of what he's trying to do is noble, but the way he goes about it is wrong. Yeah. And the same thing with Barriss. You know, if you'd really listened to what she had to say and kind of what she saw and observed and stuff, maybe they could have prevented something else from happening. You know, prevented death, prevent everything else that happened. But obviously, that's not what happened, and it turned into, you know, Ahsoka leaving the Order, which, in hindsight, you know, it's not a bad thing for Ahsoka. You know, she's no longer a Jedi, which is cool. You know, she makes amends to that, but she also was able to survive Order 66 because of it. Because she wasn't with any clones.
Yeah. I think that Ahsoka has had, like, a bigger part to play post-Order 66. And, yeah, everything has led, and it was the catalyst to her, I guess, leaving and doing what she needed to do outside of that and surviving Order 66. It's really interesting to wonder what Barriss might have done had she also been able to escape, I guess. Like, what else would she have done?
Yeah, if Barriss was able to escape and, you know, go on with Ahsoka. Like, if Ahsoka and Barriss left together, like, if they really listened to Barriss and they left together, like, made a conscious decision, what could two Jedi have done for this new budding rebellion against the Empire? You know, if they weren't, you know, captured, you know, destroyed by Order 66. Like, it could have done so many different things. Now, obviously, we know it has to be Luke Skywalker that destroys the Death Star. It has to be Luke that redeems Anakin, that Anakin has to be the one to destroy the, you know, Emperor. Like, that's all set in stone. Those films have been there for 30 years now. But it would be nice to see, you know, to see different stories. And this is what I love about Star Wars as a whole, is that even a small character like Barriss or Ahsoka, who's introduced in Clone Wars TV series, or, you know, a small character in the back of a Senate hearing in, you know, Attack of the Clones, and shows up pulling out a lightsaber, is the only thing you see of her in Attack of the Clones, becomes such a character that has such an important role. Like, I love this about Star Wars. So, I was glad we talked about Barriss just because I felt it tied into our Ahsoka conversation last week, and we can elaborate a little bit more on it. But is there anything else about Barriss that we didn't cover, Danya?
No, I mean, going off the back of that, now that you were, like, saying some of that stuff, like, I think it would have been really interesting to see Barriss and Ahsoka involved in the rebellion, and much like we're probably going to see with Saw Gerrera in Rogue One, how her actions and what she would be willing to do for the rebellion would differ from what Ahsoka is willing to do. And has been willing to do. I think they would have made really interesting foils to each other, both being on the same side, but at varying degrees of what they believe would be the necessary acceptable actions in a war on this scale. So,
I agree. I would love to see the crew of the Ghost meet up with Saw Gerrera at some point, regardless of it being after Rogue One comes out. Like, I would love them to see Saw Gerrera. And maybe even, you know, Ezra be kind of enamored with him, saying like, oh yeah, I was trained by the Jedi, you know, saying who it was and all this stuff. And then him kind of seeing he goes, maybe, you know, Saw goes a little too far. But I would love the Ghost to see Saw Gerrera also.
Yeah.
Just because it's mentioning all the other books and everything. Sorry, go.
I wonder if Ezra would think that Saw Gerrera is going too far, though. Because we've seen very much that Ezra can go that far himself. I mean, just look at the premiere episode and what he did.
Yeah.
With basically using the Jedi mind trick to make a couple of stormtroopers commit suicide. Like,
that's true. You know, here's the thing is, I like to have positive thoughts about Ezra Bridger. I like to. But at the same time, he might be Snoke. You know, he could be Snoke. And if he's Snoke, he's definitely going down the right path. Who knows? Anyway, anything else about Barriss, or are we wrapping it up?
We can wrap it up.
All right.
It's fine. Thank you. I can't think of anything else.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I don't want to get, you know, we're now talking about Ezra and Snoke, and I don't want to get too much of the different things.
Hashtag anyway. Your Snoke theory sucks.
Have you seen the Reddit? Oh, it was last month. Did you see October's Snoke spotlight topic in the Star Wars Reddit?
No, I did not.
It was all Snoke theories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing.
The epitome of your Snoke theory sucks. By the way, I love that hashtag. It's like my favorite hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag your Snoke theory sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Actually, here it is. Maybe the real Snoke is friends we made along the way. Travel Snoke theory of the month. There, I have to save this picture just so everyone can see it, because it's kind of amazing. Oh my God. It's still on the Reddit page, so you have to take a look at it. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradio. As always, I'm Mikey B.
And I'm Danya.
Thank you again, and we'll see you next week.
May the Force be with you guys. Bye.
May the Force be with us. It's Jyn Erso. All right, bye.